Joining us right now is Rick Smith. Now, we, of course, have great programming 24/7 here, and it's just a pleasure to welcome Rick and his show, The Rick Smith Show, to our airwaves 8 to 10 o'clock weeknights here. And he's kind enough today to join us to talk about his show and in progressive radio and his strong worker vibe. It's great to have him with us. Rick, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thanks so much, Matt. I appreciate you having me on.
No, it's my pleasure, man. And you coming to us from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, correct?
Yep, Central Pennsylvania, the home of the Army War College where I live, because we love war here.
That's what I was U.S. Army, so.
We're still, look, dude, I'm 45 minutes from Gettysburg, and we're still fighting the Civil War, which evidently, you look around, our country wants to go right back to. I don't know if you saw the display from the Capitol here not too long ago. Yeah. You had these nitwits in khakis running flags through the Capitol. Crazy times we live in, Matt.
Indeed, crazy. I will say this about where you're at. I have been to Gettysburg. I have been there. That is a gorgeous part of the country, southern Pennsylvania, south central part of Pennsylvania, and fantastic pizza, too.
That's a beautiful place. I love it here. I'm a transplant. I grew up on the west side. Here was like culture shock because there are more Confederate flags in my neighborhood than there are not.
Yeah, it's like they've lost it. You go to Indiana, Iowa, it's like, okay, you guys don't realize what you're doing there. I get furious in Minnesota when I see the Confederate flag, considering what happened at Gettysburg with the first Minnesota and them saving the Union on the second day. I was like, make sure you understand you're not rooting for the home team there.
No. Real quick, the story when I first moved to this area, the first guy I met, he had a big blue X up on his flagpole, and I asked him. I said, "Hey, what's with the cannon in your living room window?" And he went into this whole story about how they play dress up and they're refighting the Civil War and they're fixing all of the mistakes. And when I asked him, what side he dressed up on, he said, "The only side that matters, boy." Oh. And I knew I was in trouble.
Oh, wow. Wow, so you're an idiot. Then. That's kind of my next response. You don't know what the heck you're talking about. Rick, your journey into radio here, I got to tell you, I've been doing this show here in various time slots for about almost 12 years. And I've watched as progressive radio went downhill, and now it's starting to come back and come back strong. And your show here, Strong Union, Strong Worker, talk about the workers' issues. Let's talk a little bit about how you got to the Rick Smith Show as it is right now.
I fell into this by accident. I never wanted to do radio. I never wanted to be the guy who says, "Hey, look at me." In 2004, I did an awful lot of work to try and get John Kerry elected. That didn't work out. And when we moved to this area in 05, I noticed a lot of my truck driver buddies, because I've been a Teamster for over 30 years, were spewing the lines of, Limbaugh and Hannity and Beck and, all of them, just regurgitating these lines ad nauseum, like, we'd make more money here if there was no union, which is ludicrous and ridiculous. But, hey, they were still spitting it on anyway, because it's what they were surrounded by. It's what they were hearing all day long at work. There was nothing else. So I happen to suggest that a Democratic Party meeting, hey, what you need to do is you need to fight in the media airwaves. You need to add some balance. So we got a group of people together to start a little local radio program. And, I raised some money to help us do that. And, that was the beginning of it. Labor Day of 2005, we kicked off. And that was my foray into doing anything on the radio. And it's been an amazing ride over these last 16 years. We've done some really incredible things, like a cross-country labor history tour. We did a cross-country civil rights tour. We've done all kinds of things to educate working people about really important issues and how labor is at the center of it. And I believe in this moment, labor could be at the center of this because every policy, everything that goes on, we can draw back to the workplace, and labor contracts can help with that.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's I'm tried and blue through and through. I believe in the unions. I believe in workers' rights. We, of course, the history of the unions with the Iron Range in Minnesota, where they came out from there, and of course the fights that they had in the 1930s for workers' rights in Minneapolis and St. Paul. I'm a strong supporter of union rights, but the one thing that's been incredibly frustrating is I will get union guys in here, union representatives, and they'll talk about, we're supporting this Republican. And I keep trying to tell them that Republican who's promising you the world, if that Republican has the tie-breaking vote to wipe out all unions in your state, they will take it with joy and brag about killing your union. I just don't know where this false perception that Republicans care at all about unions and workers' rights came from.
No, I think George Meany back in the 60s said it best. We've done too good for our members. When you're making, it's hard to get a guy to go on strike when they're making $10,000 a year. I think in a lot of places they have done. They've done really well for their members. They've gotten them excellent wages. We know union workers make 18% to 30% higher in wages. We know that overwhelmingly they have much more access to health care and retirement benefits and better health care and defined benefit, pension, retirement, security. They've got a voice on the job. They've got all these things that they now have taken for granted. And they think, you know, as Harry Truman said, they think they're Republicans. And the reality is if you give, a voter the choice between voting for a Republican and a Democrat that acts like one, they're going to choose the real deal. So for me, a lot of Democrats are at fault as well, because they weren't the clear choice that came out and said, no, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to protect you and I'm going to fight for you. You go back to Carter, they could have undone Taft-Hartley. You go back to Clinton, they were supposed to get rid of a strike replacement. Obama shook my hand twice, told me, we're going to get you something better than the Employee Free Choice Act. And in all of those occasions, we got nothing. Mm-hmm. So when workers are looking at this and go, well, at least the Republican's going to give me maybe possibly a tax break, that might help. And it never works out. But that's, I think, part of where the thinking goes into. And then the Republicans have done a great job on the culture issues with the God, guns, and gays stuff, mm-hmm. Which, again, ludicrous and ridiculous. But still, it's what they've sold to people.
I would agree. And let me also, if I can bring up another point, the Democrats, DFL here in Minnesota, the Democrats have failed at, is that it's fine that if as a Democrat, you want to oppose, say, an oil pipeline. That's absolutely, I can understand that. That's kind of within your range. But you got to understand the worker relation there. And the idea is don't just sit there and say, we're against the pipeline. You sit there and say, you know what? That pipeline is just going to put a lot of, Canadian tar sands oil into our country. I don't like that. Instead, I want to build the infrastructure for 16 more light rail lines in Minneapolis-St. Paul, which will not only give us construction jobs, but will give us long-term good union jobs for the drivers and the workers on those trains afterwards. You have to have a better presentation than just telling people what you're against.
Absolutely. And I think Jay Inslee, during the presidential election back in 2020, I loved his Green New Deal plan. I loved his plan for how we were going to make the transition. And they were right at the front of it. These are going to be union jobs. We're going to replace those coal miners we're going to take them out of those dirty mines. We're going to put them in the factories making, solar panels or wind turbines or whatever the next generation can teach them to wire things. These are people with excellent skills. We can train them to make and fix things. There has to be that just kind of transition that in the past working people are a little gun shy on, Matt. I mean, you go back to all of the so-called progress of the past has always left working people, basically holding the bag and the bills. When we were doing free trade, when we were letting companies outsource, it was always the workers who took it on the chin. So I do understand a little bit of their reticence, and this is where you're spot on. We got to come with absolute concrete policies. This is how we're going to help. Mm-hmm. This is how nobody gets left behind. Even if we have to make kind of a tax system where we say, you know what, whatever your standard of living is, we're going to redline this. You're not going to fall below this. We do this stuff to corporate America all the time. We can do it for working people.
And we can. And I think as well, it's also not understanding the full story. I'll give you another great example. Up on the Iron Range, they wanted to put in one of those sulfur mines, especially right up in the Boundary Waters canoe area, which is a bad idea. But at the same time, people want jobs. Well, if you built three steel foundries in the United States, put three more because we've had a ton close because they can't compete overseas. Build three top-of-the-line, brand-new steel processing facilities here. They would have every taconite mine in northern Minnesota and northern Michigan, for that matter. They'd be up to full capacity, full workloads immediately because you got to solve the problem. You can't just look at, well, we only want to do one small element of it. And the reality is you can solve these problems. It just it takes some spending, it takes some commitment, and it takes understanding the problem as a whole.
No, you're absolutely right. But it also takes communication and trust. And we're in a moment right now where we're not talking to each other, Matt. Yeah. I mean, I've got friends who, I've been fortunate over my life to have conservatives that I sit in, we have a beer and we discuss things, we argue, we have heated conversations. At the end, we shake hands and slap each other on the back and go, we'll get you next time. We don't do that much anymore. I mean, we've got our silos and our talking points, and we bomb each other with whichever talking point that we don't understand, and try to win these idiotic debates when the reality is all that's happening is the wealthy are getting wealthier and all of us in the working class are getting poorer. And one of the things that I came across over the weekend, this new economy project in New York, pointed out that J.P. Morgan Chase alone in New York City extracted over $1 billion in fees and overdraft fees and penalties from working class New Yorkers, over $1 billion during a pandemic. And you go, how is that allowed to happen? How do we have government that allows that to happen? How do we have policy that allows a working class to get screwed that badly? And they're not even the worst. I mean, we're getting screwed every day at the gas pump. I just saw the big oil companies pocketed $174 billion in profits in the first 9 months. And we're going, gee, why are oil prices so high? I think we kind of know. Massive redistribution of wealth from you and me and your listeners and mine to their pockets. Yeah. And that's how this has always been. They love to point us out. It's right or left, Democrat, Republican. No, it's the rich against the rest of us. And until we wake up to that reality, till we wake up to the reality that Jay Gould was right, he could pay half the working class to murder the other half, we're going to get nowhere but splintered and pitted against one another.
Oh, yeah, and I can tell you, you're exactly right on that, too. The wealthy are kicking our butts, and it's not even close. I mean, this is just an absolute, you know, caboose kicking. And the reality is that it's just too easy for some people to convince some that, like when you mentioned gas prices, oh, it's Joe Biden's fault. No, it's not necessarily, but at the same time, it's every president has had to deal with this. It's kind of the petroleum industry, OPEC, it's how the markets work. It's not so linear as that, oh, Joe Biden, not only did he take our turkey away at Thanksgiving, but he's raising the gas prices. They love to try to create this narrative. And the reality is when you get people who are so chomping at the bit to buy that reality and that narrative, well, it's hard to convince them to come back to reality.
Yeah, I bought the T-shirt, Matt. This is my team. No way can it be wrong.
Yes.
And that's on both sides. Look, I mean, we've splintered so badly that we can't agree that someone else may have a good idea. And I've said all the time, I'm a green conservative liberal libertarian. If it's a good idea, it's going to help the working class move forward, let's hear it out. Let's hash it out. And let's get something done. The sad reality is for working people in this country, nothing has really gotten done in like 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
Our wages are stagnant. Our health care is getting worse. It's getting more expensive. Our retirement security is completely gone. They've eviscerated what was the three-legged stool of retirement that my grandparents built of Social Security, defined benefit pension, and savings, and they've whittled it down to one leg of maybe Social Security if it's there, and even that they're trying to destroy. So at some point, I'm hoping that the working class of this country wakes up and goes, oh, wait a second, all of that nonsense that Fox News is spewing at us and all of that nonsense that we're getting to pit us against one another, got to stop it. We got to come together. And this is why, you know, I say this all the time. On the election night 2020, I wasn't worrying about results because I knew it would be a week. I was not leading a strike on a picket line. That's where we've got to do this stuff. That's where we solve our income inequality problems. That's where we solve our race problems. That's where we solve our all of our problems. For me, the first time I ever heard of the transgender issue was like 25 years ago at work, where someone had gone and transitioned and came back. And you know what happened to that person? Nothing. They went back to work. They did their job. They got the same paycheck they got no matter what, who, or how they were. And to me, this is the way forward, Matt.
Well, and I'll give you, how about another one, by the way? I can't wait for the time when I can look at someone saying, hey, it's a pandemic. I don't want you dead. And someone looks at me and says, how dare you? And you're like, okay, wait a minute here. Something's broken.
No, here's another thing. You may remember last year, Republicans like Lindsey Graham were losing their ever-loving freaking minds over extending unemployment benefits. But now you got Republican states saying, well, you know, if you lose your job because of the vaccine mandate, you get to get unemployment benefits. And I said, well, how about me? How about me who got vaccinated but doesn't want to be around unvaccinated people who might make me sick? Do I get it? Oh, no. You got to show up. But the unvaccinated know where to come in this country, Matt.
I do want one of the things that President Biden has done that I really like, and I'd love to get your take on it, is the American Rescue Plan is putting out here. John Renan, who writes for the Star Tribune here in town, put out this point. It's passed without a single GOP vote in the House and the Senate. The money is going to all the townships, these 1,780 townships in Minnesota, will get a total of $107 million in federal stimulus. Nearly 300 townships will get $100,000 or more. I mean, that's real money that's going to help these communities out. The bread and butter issues, the kitchen table issues, that's the kind of thing. And now it takes the Democrats getting in behind that and saying, yeah, are you glad? Let's do more of that.
Yeah, but, you know, here's the thing. The other team isn't going to see it that way. They're not going to see, they don't care. It's still about the former guy, and they feel cheated. I can't tell you how many times, and I'm sure you get this too.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I get that from the other side. I'm hoping, and I'm told there are some still out there, some rational, reasonable Republicans who look at what's happened to their party and go, this is too far, and bring them back to somewhere, I'm not talking total sanity, but somewhere near the sane line.
Yes.
To be the kind of Republicans that I remember, I don't know, 25, 30 years ago, maybe even not someone as bad as even Pat Buchanan, who, if you remember, he was the fringe of the Republican Party in 92. Now he seems like, a hippie liberal at this point.
He might be. He definitely would be. That party has moved so far to the right. And I will say this, too. It's only a matter of time before every Republican takes credit for that bill that they voted against. So, and their voters will allow them to do it. So, okay, whatever. Yep.
There's no question about it. And look, Democrats need to call them out on this. This is where you and I come into play and talking about this, because this kind of investment in the future of our country is vitally important. There's one party that wants to move us forward, wants to move us towards solving our climate problems, wants to move us towards solving our race and inequality problems, and there's one that just wants to literally burn the freaking house down.
Yeah.
And it's never been more apparent than it is right now.
And one final thing I want to bring up, since you brought up unions, one of the things I think is the biggest shame of the Republicans is how they vilified a lot of the union jobs. Carpentry, pipe fitters, drivers. It's these jobs are looked down upon. And the reality is, for a lot of people in this country, if you're looking for good work, in this day and age when people are walking away from crap jobs that don't pay them anything and don't give them any benefits, people can get into the skilled trades, and there's a great job there. And that's one of the crimes. As the Republicans have sucked up to the unions, they've also at the same time vilified the unions and turned those jobs into less than palatable, when reality is those are great jobs.
Yeah, well, they did that. My grandparents did that too. My grandfather told me if I would follow in his footprints and become a union truck driver, that I would be a failure. But I grew up in a housing project on the west side of Cleveland. I now live in a neighborhood with doctors and lawyers because of the income and the wages that I earned and the benefits that I had and all of that. I don't feel much like a failure. I don't want that kind of thing to be passed down to my kids. Every electrician job, every pipe fitter, every plumber, every sheet tin knocker, and every sparker out there, man, those are good family-sustaining wage jobs, and with good decent hard work attached to it and respectability. There's nothing wrong with that.
Rick, an absolute pleasure having you as part of our lineup here. I want to drive people to thericksmithshow.com, thericksmithshow.com. He airs here in Minneapolis, St. Paul, 8 to 10 o'clock at night. You can podcast all of his shows. If you go to the website, you can find all that information. Welcome to Minneapolis, my friend.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it. You got to come and talk with me on my show.
My pleasure, and you're going to come on back and talk with me more on my show, if that's possible.
Anytime you will have me.
Absolutely. Rick Smith, The Rick Smith Show, weeknights 8 till 10. Let's take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here.